Lord willing, this will be the last part of the sermon on the disciples of Baal in America. And I believe that we are looking forward not to learning all about the disciples of Baal, although that's what we've done for a couple, 3 weeks. But the good news is that Baal worship is going to end. Now, we saw last week that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Revelation 19 and verse 11, was going to come to judge and make war. This is the kind of thing which is not told our people. They don't understand that God's purpose is to judge the earth, and the last thing that will happen upon the earth under man will be a great battle, often called the last battle. We also saw that Ezekiel 38 and 39 apparently are a long description by the prophet of the same battle. In verse 17 of Revelation 19, it was called the Supper of the Great God. In Ezekiel 38 and 39, it's called God's Sacrifice, and the fowls of the air are called to sup at God's table. So I believe that 38 and 39 are the same description of what is often called the last battle. Now, last week, we weren't able to close the sermon because Zephaniah gives us a tremendous story, the whole 3 chapters of Zephaniah. So, Lord willing, we're going to go through that today. And before I start, I should mention that there are 53 verses in the 3 chapters of Zephaniah, and that gives me about 40 seconds for each verse. So, in advance, I'll apologize if I seem to go over some of these rather rapidly. But I hope and pray that we'll get a blessing from going through this today ourselves to show you the culmination of the ages, as seen by a prophet who prophesied over 600 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not someone writing about present-day America and the world from today's headlines. This prophecy was given over 2,500 years ago. And as we read it, you'll see it must be of God because it is modern-day America and the rest of the world almost to a T. Let's read a few miscellaneous verses before we start in the beginning to show you what this is about. In verse, he says, "The great day of the Lord is near, and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord." I believe it's called the day of the Lord about 5 or 6 times in the entire prophecy. In chapter 2 and verse 3, it's called, he speaks to the people, and it says, "It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." So it's called the day of the Lord's anger. And this day, or this time, will result in what we read or closed in last week, verse 14 and 15 of the last chapter. "O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. By thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy," and that's what we've been talking about for 2 or 3 weeks, about the enemies in Israel. "He hath the king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more." So whatever these events will be, they will culminate in what we call the kingdom of God on the earth. This day of the Lord will end with the kingdom of God upon the earth. So let's start reading in Zephaniah 1, and as I read this, you remember by God to write this down over 600 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. "The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hizkiah, in the days of Josiah, and the son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of heaven and the fishes of the sea, and the stumbling blocks with the wicked," or as the margin might say in your Bible, "or the idols with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord." Now, before we read all of this, remember, when you read the mysteries of the Bible, it doesn't necessarily mean everything. It means all of that which God is talking about. So as we go on in the next verses, you'll see that which he is talking about, of course, are the wicked or the enemies. So when he says he's going to cut off all things, he doesn't mean everything. He means all things which are out of line with the Word of God. And that will become more clear as we go on. Verse 4, "I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah, and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. All right. That's what we've been talking about for two or three weeks. Well, in modern Jerusalem, there are disciples of Baal. Now is coming the time when God is going to cut them all off. I'm going to cut all of the remnant of Baal from this place in the name of the Chemarims with the priests. And the Chemarims were people who worshipped Baal. And them that worshipped the host of heaven upon the housetops, that swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcolm. And Malcolm was the Ammonite name for Baal. So when you read this term Malcolm in the scripture, you're also reading about Baal. Them that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm. Now that sounds rather strange, doesn't it? Until you rise, he's talking about people who swear by both God Almighty and the God Baal. And if you don't know that in America and in Christendom today, there's a great host of ministers who preach Christ and Baal doctrines. That's what we've been talking about for 3 weeks. So God says, I'm going to worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm. Now this is a strange thing. It's almost unbelievable by other gods at the same time, but here he's talking about cutting those people off. Well, if you'll turn with me, we'll find that Jesus Christ apparently knew there were people who were going to be like that in the end of the age. In Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And what's his answer? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that what? Ye that work iniquity. Ye that preach Baal doctrines, even though you call upon the name of the Lord. All throughout the New Testament, we are warned about people who would preach Jesus Christ and would deceive many. Well, way back here in Zephaniah, he was given to prophesy that God was going to cut off those people who preached the Lord and Baal. All right, let's go back to Zephaniah. In verse 6, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord, nor inquired for him. We were reading about that in Sunday school class this morning. Them that have turned back from the Lord. That means those who apparently had a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, knew he was the Savior, knew his blood had redeemed Israel, and then turned around and went back to some other thing and denied that faith, and also those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him. Now that brings a pretty complete destruction, wouldn't you think? Stop and think for a moment of all of these things. The Baal worshippers will be cut off. The double-minded ones, those who serve Christ and Baal, those who are turned back from Christ, all the world. And yet there are people who have never made any attempt to find God. And this is a day that Jeff has prophesying where all of these people will be destroyed. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared, and it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice. Now to Ezekiel 39, before we go on, because in this prophecy of this, and thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl, unto every beast of the field, assemble yourselves and come, gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice, that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice, of which you may eat flesh and drink blood. In verse 19 he calls again, my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. So I believe the battle described in Ezekiel 38 and 39 is the battle of the day of sacrifice, of which Zephaniah is. All right, Zephaniah. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children. Yes, the leaders and rulers in Israel, all such as are clothed with strange apparel. Now, this is a very significant statement. I suppose when most people read that, the first thing they so strangely. No. Jesus Christ knew of that day and actually gave us a parable of that in Matthew 22. I won't read the whole parable. You know it, the parable of the wedding feast and the wedding guests. Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14, but let us read verse 11. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Come, friend, how camest thou in hither not had a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Isn't that wonderful that Zephaniah, 700 years before Christ, talked of a day coming of the Lord's sacrifice when God would punish those who had strange apparel at the time of the wedding supper, of the marriage, on a wedding garment, and they would be cast out into... As you read this Bible, sometimes it's a continual source of amazement to me as to how so many men can read and never find anything or any stories in the Bible. And here these prophets and these men of God and Jesus Christ and the apostles all taught the same thing. All of their stories and all of their prophecies fit together. Back to Zephaniah. He's going to punish the leaders and rulers in Israel and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. And I believe that means that everyone who does not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that has never happened in all of history. So this is and must be an end time prophecy. I punish all those that leap on the threshold houses with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. Howl, ye inhabitants of Maktesh, and the margin reads, ye inhabitants of the merchant street. Maktesh was a street where all the merchants gathered in Old Jerusalem. For all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off. Now this is, again, fits the prophecy of the destruction of Babylon, Revelation 18. And again, I'll have to apologize. In most cases, I wish I could read a dozen verses there, but I'll read just one, and you can use notes here for more study. But in Revelation 18:11, of the destruction of mystery Babylon, and shall weep and mourn over her, no man buyeth their merchandise any more. And then he lists the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and so on. So it's a day of the destruction of this economic world empire called mystery Babylon, right along with the destruction of all of these other ungodly people. Verse 12 of Zephaniah, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. I suppose if there is any one thing that our people are allowed or even taught to believe, the Lord isn't doing anything now. God isn't doing anything. He's not doing good or evil. We're just going along on our way. In fact, he's doing so little that many people believe he's dead. And some ministers and some modernists are actually preaching that God is dead, or else he's off away somewhere, or he's done, as some of our great anti-communist leaders tell us, that he just set the worlds in motion, and then that's all he's doing now. What are they doing? They're saying God will not do evil or he'll not do good. God says those people are going to be punished in that day also. And that should be read in conjunction with chapter 8 and 9 of Ezekiel. Turn with me back there. Those two chapters are a description of the punishment of the church in the end of the age. The punishment of the professing church. Some of you know these quite well, but God told Ezekiel in vision through the church and showed him all the abominations inside the church. And then as he finished this in chapter 9, verse 8, then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel in the land is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness, for they say. Now why is the land full of blood? Why do we have murderers who go unpunished and continue to murder? Why is there so much criminality? Why does the governmental system has actually become almost a system of criminals and robbers and plunderers of the people? Here's the reason. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. The churches have taught for so long, he's only going to do something to you when you die, that men do not obey God on the earth. And the whole earth is filled with blood and perverseness because of that teaching by them. Well, back here in Zephaniah, God said he was going to punish who said the Lord doesn't do good or do evil. Verse 13 of Zephaniah. Therefore their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. That means that all of the ill-gotten wealth that has been stolen and plundered from the people will be returned to the people. The Bible calls it the year of Jubilee, which must come. And here he says these evil people have all of these things. They'll not use them. They're going to be taken away from them. Verse 14, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Now, notification of punishment or judgment upon the meek of the earth, and we'll get into that in a few moments. The believers in Christ are not listed in this discussion of all. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Now, notice that what is commonly taught today, they try to tell Christians, well, this day is when Christ comes secretly and takes you all off from the earth and turns the earth over to the Antichrist. No, he says the day of the Lord is a day of terrible destruction. Verse 6, of the trumpet, an alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. And their flesh as the dung. Yes, a great battle, a great sacrifice, if you please. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he has described in the previous verses, and all of the people who fit the description all the way from the actual Baal worshippers to those who have never sought the Lord God Almighty. Now, God is a God of justice. So let's not begin to question this and say, well, Lord, I wouldn't do it that way. What I'd do is raise up a bunch of evangelists and go out and convert them all. That's the way we do it, you know. No, God said, these centuries have rolled on. I have winked at these things in times past, but now the day of judgment is upon the earth. And Isaiah 2 tells of this time when they will throw their gold and their silver to the bats and the moles. This term, by the fire of his jealousy, should be commented on because you do not believe that Ezekiel 38:39 is the actual description of the battle. So if you'll turn with me back to Ezekiel 38, verse 18 and 19, and it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face, for in my jealousy, here's the same word, in my jealousy, and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken, surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. And we've explained this before, that term jealousy is both these prophets deliberately. This is the great God Almighty jealous over his bride Israel. And a bride, right? And this is why God is going to move to bring that shaking in there, because he says to these prophets, by the fire of his jealousy. It is for the bringing back, redemption, the cleansing of the virgin bride of Israel to himself. Chapter 2 of Zephaniah. He speaks not to the wicked, but to the righteous. Gather yourself together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day passeth the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness, it may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Here's the promise from God Almighty who do what? Who seek the Lord. He doesn't believe if you're the most saintly person who ever walked upon the earth. No, he lays down only one condition, seek ye the Lord. It may well be that ye will be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. And then there's a description of destruction here, which is rather, for Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe unto the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Kerethites, from Canaan, the land of the Philistines, I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. Now that doesn't fit the fundamentalist prophecy of the Jews going back to old Canaan land, does it? This almost sounds as if there's going to be a deliberate destruction by God of the land of Canaan, the land of the Philistines. He says, the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines, I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. And the sea coast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks, and the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. Now, some people believe that there may be a remnant of Judah in what is called modern Jewry. If there are, and they would inherit the coast there. Now, it wouldn't take many people, would it, to use that small part of the country. But the rest of Canaan land, the land of the Philistines, just under total destruction according to Zephaniah. And they shall feed thereupon in the houses of Ashkelon, shall they lie down in the evening, for the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. Verse 8, I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the children of Ammon, whereby they have revealed themselves against their border. If you want to read more on that, you'll find that Jeremiah chapter 48 is a complete prophecy of the destruction of the Moabites, and Jeremiah 49 is a prophecy of the destruction of the Ammonites. Then follows Jeremiah 50 and 51, of course, which is a prophecy of the destruction of Babylon. Verse 9, Therefore as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, even the breeding of nettles and salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. Now this doesn't sound like just the removal. It sounds as if it is complete and total destruction. The residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. This shall they have for the destruction of those people, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts. Now this principle obtains all the way through the promise, Abraham, back in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, that he would bless those who blessed him and curse those who cursed him. And that prophecy and that promise obtains to all of Abraham's seed. And God says, I'm going to destroy these Ammonites and Moabites because they were children of the Lord of hosts against the children of Israel. Now there are a great host of people, including these people we've been talking about the last few days, who come because they're anti-God, but because they're anti-Israel, because they are against the true children of Israel. Verse 11, The Lord will be terrible unto them, for he will famish all the gods of the earth. Is this an end-time prophecy? It must be. This cannot be a prophecy about old Palestine at the time that Israel between the Assyrian captivity and the captivity in Babylon. But he is talking here of a time when all the gods of the earth will be destroyed. It's a prophecy. He will famish or destroy all the gods of the earth, and men shall worship him, every one from all the isles of the heathen. What's the result from all of this? Well, just stop and think for a moment of the destruction. If you destroyed all of those who worship Baal, all of those who worship the stars and the heavens and all the astrologers, all of the people who are opposed to Israel, and all of the people who have never sought the Lord, what would you do? And that's the purpose for which all of the events of this age are moving, brother, sister, believe it or not. Verse 12 through 15, I'm going to skip because of time, but it's a destruction of the Ethiopians, which I believe are what we call the modern Negroes. Ethiopia was the ancient name for Africa, and also Assyria, which is another name for that Baal was the king of both Assyria and Babylon. And both Assyria and Babylon were centers of Baal worship. So this destruction of both of them is given in the next four verses. Chapter 3. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice, she received not correction, she trusted not in the Lord, she drew not near to her God. In spite of the preaching, tons of preachers, of missionaries who have gone over all the world, the world, the heathen, the Baal worshippers, the Antichrist, the people who hate God's Israel people, simply have not drawn near people, and no matter what kind of preaching and how much, they will never answer the call of the preacher. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. One of the great tragedies of this United States of America and our brethren in Western Europe is the corruption of the so-called criminal and court system in America in the courts anymore. The criminals are released and sent on their way. Every time you read about murder, you almost invariably will read that the man was charged with, and then they'll give some sort of a crime a year, two, three, five, 6 years ago, and here he's back out again and he's committing crime again. Why? Because of God's justice on the land upon the people. And he says her judges are evening wolves. Verse 4, her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. Remember what I was reading that, or part of that article by Richard DeHaan. He's one of the best known preachers in the nation. He used to preach that God's law was done away. Now he has added the Ten Commandments. And he tells us that now the Ten Commandments are also put away. What have they done? They have done violence to God. Who has? Well, the prophets and the preachers. The men who stand up in the name. Is Zephaniah describing? Is he describing old Israel? No. He's describing the United States of America, our brethren in Western Europe. The people where the Bible is, where Christ is preached, and even so, all of this corruption and this turning away from God and defying Him and His law. He goes on and says in verse 5, is in the midst thereof. What is he talking about? Is he talking about just some heathen nation? No, he's talking about the house of Israel. Yes, the Lord's in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I do not believe that this age will end unless it is possible for every man in Christendom to hear the truth of the word of the Lord. Now, some people write me letters or talk to me personally, and they say, well, Pastor Emery, how do you stay on radio with some of the things that you say? Well, I believe it is the Lord's purpose that His people will hear His truth, period. I do not believe that God will do iniquity and by destroy those who have never had an opportunity to hear the word of the Lord in the house of Israel. God will see that His people will all have the opportunity. Well, the radio, the printing press, the pulpit, the word of mouth, you people as witnesses, I believe in a matter of just a few years, maybe only a few months, I don't know, Israel will have been preached in every town, hamlet, and city, and state on this North American continent. I believe it's coming. Availeth not. He makes it available so people can hear it. But the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nation. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. And as I read this last night, I didn't quake. That was listed in this newspaper. Isn't that rather startling? Here's a large city of 100,000 people or so down in South America, and apparently from the newspaper, the entire central part of that city is nothing but rubble and ruin. Now, I don't know whether that was actually the hand of the Lord, but the Lord is the ruler over the earth, and I would have to accept His hand and His power in it. Perhaps just as an example of what can happen in a matter of a few seconds by the natural powers of the earth being used by God Almighty. One city, just almost leveled to the ground in the city. And in the last 50 years, scores and literally hundreds of cities have been destroyed in war, in World War I and World War II and all of the things that have happened since then, and all of these things have happened. But listen to what he says. Even after this, verse 7, I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off, howsoever I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. You see, no matter how much desolation God brings upon individual nations and cities and peoples, they until. Until what? Until they are destroyed from off the earth. Now that's a terrible thing for human beings to think about and to say. But God says, I gave peace. And what did they do? They got up the next day and they went right on their own way and corrupted all their doings. Therefore, all right, because of that, I have given you several hundred years with millions of Bibles. I've given you men several thousand years of some preaching and evidence of my power and my word, and you still won't have it. All right. Therefore, Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. Back there in chapter 1, he said, all the land, all the country, all of Israel. Now, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire. It's not going to be some local revival. He's talking about a time when God will move upon all the nations and people of the entire earth. And this man saw this 2,500 years ago. And today we see that there has been placed in man's hands the ability to destroy cities and live. Someone gave me some information about a medical situation, which I imagine we'll be hearing more about if they decide to allow us to hear it. And that's, for one thing, this the colored people or the Negroes have. Apparently some doctors are recognizing that this thing could develop into a situation where hundreds of thousands and perhaps millions of Negroes would die in a matter of a few years from that one disease. The Jews happen to have another disease called Tay-Sachs, which affects only Ashkenazim Jews, which constitute 90% of all the Jews of the world. They're the only people in the world who have that disease. And that disease could lead to their destruction as a people. Do you think God doesn't know about these things? We're just beginning to see that in man, on this universe, he exists the necessary things to wipe out people by the hundreds of millions. And man can't do a thing about it. Nothing they can do can stop it. And here God's all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy, for then, following that, for then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to seek one consent. And there's a long sermon right in that. I want to mention that I believe that was English language. During the last approximately 50 years, the English language has become the official language all over the world. All treaties are written in the language of the participants, and another copy is made in English. All trade agreements are done the same way. Every embassy in the world keeps someone there in English, no matter what the native language is. But I thought it was interesting that the Antichrist people who are putting out new translations of the Bible, this living Bible, I want to read what they said in that verse. Now, this James, for then will I turn to the people a pure language. These Antichrist people who put out this Bible have in here, at that time, the speech of my returning people to pure Hebrew. You see? In other words, in order to fit their Jewish Israel theory, they end on the text at all. All God said, I'll give everybody the same language. And by the way, the Jews have set up universities over there to try to teach Hebrew, and they're getting no success. They speak Yiddish, which is not Hebrew, in spite of most people thinking it is. It's a corrupted German. And no one today is learning Hebrew. I think the pure language, they'll be given that to call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. This will be worldwide. And then here's the location of where it will start. Chapter, verse 10. Even the daughter of my dispersed. Now, if you were where Zephaniah was and you were looking westward beyond for Africa, you would see this North American continent. That's where they were to start coming to the Lord. Even the daughter of mine dispersed shall bring mine offering. We read earlier their brethren even their seed. I know of only one race of people upon this, their children, before the God of Israel to dedicate them, and that's the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, and kindred peoples. Their children to the God of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what Zephaniah was talking about. Verse 11, in that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me, for then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt be no more haughty, and the margin has a better rendering, I believe, in the holy mountain. Isaiah and Micah and Jeremiah and all of these people talked of the regathering of the house. They would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as my holy mountain. Verse 12, I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. And I believe when we get through with this, we'll be able to be called an afflicted and a poor people. Verse 13, the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none will make them afraid. Has that ever happened? No, this is the end of the age, after this battle, when all of these things have been swept off from the earth that are out of line with the word. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath thine enemy. Yes, the culmination of all that Zephaniah saw was the casting out of the enemies of Israel. The king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Isn't that wonderful to read the words of this prophet? That it is God himself who will be joyful over our salvation. You know, I believe there's too much preaching to be joyful as the person saved. God says he will joy over the salvation of Israel. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee to whom the reproach of it was a burden. And brother, sister, there are millions of people in Christendom that this Antichrist, these ungodly things that are going on, is a reproach. It is a burden to them. They don't quite know what's wrong. They don't know how it's going to end. They don't see the hope that some of you people see. But he said they'll be there when he joys over Israel. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out. Who was that? The house of Israel. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. That is the day that Zephaniah saw 2,500 years ago. The Holy Ghost gave him to write of a time that we now see coming to fruition, when God has gathered all the nations of the world, and he is ready to pour out his indignation upon them, to do one thing, to destroy all the followers of Baal, the followers of all the other gods, to destroy all the other gods, and to set up the kingdom of God upon the earth. Now you, after we close, you'll see that Micah saw this same day when God would move to shake terribly the earth to deliver his people Israel and destroy all of these disciples of Baal that are such a burden to us. Who's going to do it? Are we going to do it by preaching? No. We're going to tell people about it, but God is going to do the destroying. Let's all stand. Our Father and our God, we thank you for these great and wonderful promises. This time that Paul wrote that all creation groaneth for the redemption.